Well, hello again. I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons as we recoding our brain, believing Jesus, and transforming our minds so that we think like Jesus. Again, I'm reminded of that verse. He said, you know, the student will not be above the master, but it is enough that the student be as his master. Well, that's what a disciple is. That's why we go, you know, if you want to learn piano, you find someone who can teach you, who already does it, who knows how to play piano. If you want to be a master of karate or judo, you find a master and you become a disciplined follower to where you can do what they do. And again, that's exactly what Jesus said in John 14:12. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. So he's plainly telling us there, and you know, in John 8, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. If you continue in my word, well, that's a disciplined follower. That's exactly what we're doing. And I'm telling you, what Jesus said is going to come to pass in our generation. You know, we're going to see it, and I mean quickly. We're already in the edge waters of it. There's already a revival beginning to sweep the land. All right, today's lesson, the title I have on here is The Spiritual Mind, and really it's, I probably should just say a brief introduction to the spiritual mind. There's no way in one lesson you could really teach everything about that. But he's got a specific thing in mind. I hope you heard last week's lesson, and where we're talking about, and really the last 2 weeks, talking about how for years I kind of thought the natural brain, the gray matter, I'm talking about the physical 3.5-pound gray matter brain that we all have. I thought it was such a hindrance to me. It almost like I had to bypass that thing, you know, leave it over there. It's a Neanderthal. I drag it around with me kind of like, because I have to, you know, but it's really a Neanderthal and has no capacity to believe. And that's really just not true. And you'll see, we've been showing that for a couple of weeks. And really, it's good news. It's really good news since we're stuck with it anyway. So anyway, you'll see what I mean as we go through this today. And I hope you've heard the previous week or two, because it kind of laid the foundation for today. He really is taking us line by line, precept by precept, into the fullness of believing the gospel. That's really what it is. And we're going to really believe. Because, what do you mean really believe? Well, that's when we're walking in John 14:12, where we're doing the same works. And I don't mean by the gifts. God could use an Old Testament saint in the gifts. And in fact, he did. You can find all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of them but two, in the Old Testament. People that's not, they weren't born again. And the only two that you can't find back there is tongues and interpretation of tongues. But all the rest of them, you can find them. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about walking in the fullness of what Jesus said, that whatsoever we ask in his name, he will do it. We haven't seen that, but we're going to see it. And you're going to be part of it, not just see it. You're going to be part of it. Okay, Gary, quit preaching and start teaching. Yes, sir. I don't watch Bill Maher, but I know who he is, and I may not be saying his name exactly right, Bill Maher, however you pronounce it. He's a comedian, but he's also an atheist. I don't really watch him, but I do watch the news sometimes, and they've been having clips of him because the whole nation is watching him kind of get what they call red-pilled. Yeah. More and more, he's going from the ultra-liberal mindset to a little more conservative. Now, don't get me wrong, he's still an atheist at this point. And he was in a discussion just the other, oh, I don't know. I just saw the clip. So sometime in the last week or so, he was in a discussion. I'm trying to think of that man's name, but it didn't matter. But in the course of it, the Bible came up. And here was Bill Myers, Mayers, however you say it. His comment was, well, he said, but the Bible is just full of things that are just nonsense. Of course, I bristle when I, what? But you got to remember, the man's an atheist. He's an unbeliever. He is the epitome of the natural man, okay? Now, the natural man, let's talk about a natural man, somebody, you know, born of Adam, And all of us are born natural men when we're born from our mother's womb. Nobody is born again. The only one of those, that was Jesus. He was already born with the life of God in his spirit when he was delivered as a baby in this world. All the rest of us, including Bill Mayer, are born natural men with a natural mind. So that's, until you become a believer, you are a natural man. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now we have received, I got to stop right there. When he says now, what he's talking about is now, he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. This is believers. So when he says now, he's talking about, well, now that you've been born again. Now, all of us who have been born again, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's that new man on the inside of you. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the spiritual you that got quickened from death to life when you became a believer. Okay. So when that happens, you receive not the spirit of the world. That's what the spirit of the world is, what you received when you were conceived in your mother's womb. Okay. That's the spirit of the world. But when you get born again, you receive the Spirit which is of God. Okay. One of the things that happens there is that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, okay? Which things also we speak, Paul talking about himself and other ministers of the gospel, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Pastor Dave Roberson was so right. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the body of Christ. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And if you've never had the opportunity to hear Pastor Dave teach on that, he was elegant on that. All of those parables like Chuck the Duck, Baby Piranha, Nerd Boy and Nerd Girl, all of those wonderful Dave Roberson parables that illustrated that truth. He says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, just in case you never got to hear that, what he's talking about here is Chuck the Duck. Let's just take that one, Chuck the Duck. Now, Chuck the Duck was raised by chickens. We don't know what happened to his parents, but he never knew his parents. All he ever knew was the chicken world, okay? But he's really a duck. And so he's taught chicken things his whole life, you know. And so he would watch the chickens, and they'd have those sharp beaks, you know, and pick, pick. Boy, they'd pick the ground and get little bugs and ants and things to eat. And he's got this flat bill, thump, thump. So he's trying to live, you know, he's a duck trying to live in a chicken world. Thump, thump, doesn't work so well for him. And he noticed, you know, he just kept being drawn towards the water. There was a pond over there, and he kept wanting to go to that pond. Boy, every time he'd go that way, his mother chicken would smack him. You stay away from that pond. Chickens don't go to ponds. It's not good for a chicken to be in the water. Okay. But he just had this natural pull, this instinct to go to the water, you know. So this went on for a long time. Here's a duck being instructed by the world of chickens. Chicken physics, chicken logic, chicken reasoning. Until one day, a duck appears, another duck. And they start having this conversation. And this duck says, oh, hi, I'm glad to meet you, Chuck the Duck. Let's go to the pond and swim for a while. Oh, no. We chickens, we don't go to the pond. He said, what do you mean chickens? You're not a chicken, you're a duck. And he starts explaining duck things to another duck. Notice comparing spiritual with spiritual. He starts saying, wait a minute, look at your feet. Look at my feet. Look, you have web feet like I do. You're not a chicken, you're a duck. Oh, okay. He says, look at your bill. You're not made for pecking the ground. You're made for eating fish in the water. Oh, he says, come with me to the pond. And they get out on the water, and boy, he's just floating and swimming fine. See, what's going on here? Finally, he's being instructed duck to duck. And when you get born again and start reading the Word of God, and especially start praying in other tongues, you begin being instructed spirit to spirit, Holy Spirit to your spirit, Spirit of God to a child of God. I just want to go pray in tongues and read my Bible now. Oh, man. So, and eventually that duck, I got to finish the parable. So eventually that duck says, I got one more thing to show you that shows you're not a chicken, you're a duck. Start doing this with your wings. Get them, start flapping like mine and start doing what I'm doing. And so Chuck the duck, he just falls in behind the other duck and flap, flap, flap. And you've seen him go across the water and find me. They lift off. And they're doing something no chicken can do. We're going to be doing stuff no natural man can do. We're going to be doing things that only the Spirit of God can do through us. Only Christ in us can do. We got to be instructed in these spiritual things. I'm telling you, that was a good lesson. I'll see you next time. No, okay. Man, that's good. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending us Pastor Dave. Thank you so much. Perfect. Perfect. We haven't even got ready to the verse yet. The one I want to get to. Let's read that part again. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit instructs us spirit to spirit. But now notice this next wording, and I got to tell you, I've been 1 degree off for years on this verse, but it says the natural man. It does not say the natural mind. Now, it's going to be important. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Well, they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. See, that same duck would not have the same ability to teach a chicken. Because a chicken is not a duck. And a natural man is not a child of God. I mean, we're all created by God in that sense. He wants us all back. God considers even the lost people to be his lost children, like the father of that prodigal son. He wants them all back. But see, you're either born of God or you're born of this natural world, and there is no in between. It's one or the other. So that same duck, he couldn't teach those same things to chickens. Why? They're chickens. He's saying here, you can't. Okay, let's go back to Bill Maher. So they're just having this discussion, and it was just a news clip, and when I heard him say that, though, he said, the Bible is just full of things that are just nonsense. And immediately my first thought, I don't know why, I think it was the Holy Spirit. I thought about in the Old Testament, remember the axe head that floated? You remember that? And it says that iron, it's an iron axe head that floated. That's nonsense. Bill Maher would say, well, see right there. There you go. You know, we all know that iron can't float, you know. Okay, let's read the passage. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. 2 Kings 6, 5 through 7. Now, I'm reading it out of the Amplified. Just so clear that it's an iron axe head, etc. But as one was felling his beam, they're cutting down wood, okay? The axe head fell into the water. And he cried, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, well, where did it fall? You know, when he showed him the place. Now, this is Elijah, the prophet. Elijah cut off a stick and threw it in there. And I just cuts a, it just says a stick. And he threw it in there and the iron floated. Nonsense, says the natural man. That is nonsense. He said, then Elijah said, pick it up. And he put out his hand and he took it. You remember a few weeks ago, I shared with you, it was during that time after that terrible flood in Texas and that river of death. I mean, it rose somewhere between 26 to 29 feet in like 45 minutes. And there were so many, it was a 4th of July, many people camping along there, many young, right in the path of that flood was a Christian camp, and many young girls, about 8 or 9 years old, were there, and many, over 100 people, lost their lives in that flood. And, of course, it was on the news for days, and I'm watching these parents as they just agonize, and they don't know yet. Maybe some of them did know. And they're walking the riverbank, and, you know, their child or daughter has not been found yet, and they don't know, and they're just hoping upon hope that maybe their child might be still found alive, you know. And I was just watching, I was wondering how many dead bodies, how many dead children are in that water going downstream. And right there I had the Holy Ghost said, now you understand the heart of the Father who considers all of the sons of Adam as his dead children. And they're all being floated away. And that's not... He considers all of the children of Adam to be his lost children, and he wants them all back. He wants them all back. There's nothing those children can do to come to life again. There's only one way that any of God's lost children can come alive again, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can quicken them and bring them out of that river of death. This is such a picture of that. Here's an axe head. Nothing it can do on its own. Nothing it can do on its own. Why did the Holy Spirit prompt the prophet to throw a stick in there? That's the cross. This river of death that swept all of humanity away. Only the cross can bring that person out of that river of death. And when it does, God grabs it. God grabs it. It's mine. I keep it. He grabs you, keep you. No man will pluck you out of my hand. I could preach for days right here. What a type of the cross. What a type of the cross. Oh, my goodness. But see, to the natural man, like a Bill Mayer, and I believe God's bringing him to salvation. Pray for Bill Mayer. Sue and I have been praying for him for years. God wants him. And pray for Bill. But to him, things like that. See, and I listed other things. I know good men and women that are very much like this. They're good people. They live decent lives. They're not alcoholics or anything. You know, they're productive people. But they're natural people. And you tell them something like an iron axe head floats up to the surface, or here's some more, the Red Sea parted. They're going, mm-hmm. This is why many of your unsaved relatives, you start talking to them and they go, mm-hmm. Okay, you know. Water turned into wine? You know how foolish that sounds to the natural man? What? Water turns into wine with no grape? What? Five loaves, a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes can be multiplied to feed thousands? And then there's leftovers after they're all full. And the natural man goes, you believe that? And yeah, I believe that. And they go, mm-hmm. But I want you to know something. You're born again. See, I believe all that, don't you? I absolutely believe that. Everything. I believe the Red Sea parted and the water turned into wine. And I can just see those loaves. It really, Jesus, he blessed it. It didn't multiply in his hands, but he blessed it, handed it to the disciples, and it multiplied as they're passing it out. Can you imagine? Here you keep passing this out, and it never diminishes. It just keep passing it out, and it's still the same. You know, Sue and I had one event similar to that way back in the early days when we had those Bible studies here, and we always tried to have something for them to eat because some of these people, right on the poverty line. And boy, I remember this one night, Sue had made some kind of a stew, and Sue makes really good stew. Everything she makes is great. And, but boy, there was we had a turnout that night. And even though she'd made a big pot, you know, I can't see my hands, but a big, big pot of stew. I mean, a big one, man, she keep dipping. We're down right to the bottom, and people are still wanting to eat. What do you do in that case? You close your eyes, you look away, and you go, Jesus. And you just keep dipping. I want you to know, in the natural, it was impossible. She kept dipping and kept serving till the last person was fit. The closest we've come to a multiplying type thing, but boy, I believe we saw some of it that night. But see, the Bible is full of these supernatural events. We could just go on and on for hours about that. And to the natural man now, to the natural man, that's nonsense. That's what Bill Mayer said. Well, that's nonsense. But see, most of us, if you're watching me on this, most likely you're born again. And you don't have any problem believing that. See, but anything supernatural is foolishness to the natural man. They are bound by the Newtonian physics. What I mean is like all of the laws of physics that we all learned in high school and some in college, you know. Force equals mass times acceleration and E equal MC squared and all of the different equations, you know, that govern the natural laws. The natural man is bound to that. And you'd start telling them like the Red Sea parted or anything. Well, that's just nonsense, as Bill Mayer would say. But see, now, if you believe that the axe head floated, I believe it, and that Jesus turned water into wine, I have good news for you. You have a spiritual mind. You've been born again. You have the capacity, the potential to believe all things are possible because you have the mind of Christ. If I'd have continued on up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, another couple of verses down, it says, we have the mind of Christ. You have a mind that's been born of the Spirit of God, and it has the capacity. It's a Chuck the Duck. It's a spiritual man, a spiritual mind, and the Holy Spirit can teach you spirit to spirit. Now, here's a sentence. Now, notice, we still have I still have a 3.5-pound gray matter brain that's of this world. But do you notice it doesn't have dominion over me. I believe that axe head floated. And my natural mind goes, maybe I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't have the capacity to stop me from believing it. I do believe it. Unless I allow it to. Now, there it is. It may never. I think about Peter walking on the water, because, you know, the natural mind think that's just crazy that a human could walk on water. And I can just imagine the reasonings in his mind going, I'm seeing it, but I see Jesus walking on the water. But, you know, his natural mind, that this is impossible, but I see it. But this is impossible, but I see it. He says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come. Because one thing he did believe, even his natural mind believed it, because he'd seen it hundreds of times anyway. In the meetings, whatever Jesus said would come to pass. Lord, if you bid me come, then I'll come. So the Lord says, well, or if it's you, bid me come. Well, it's me, come. And Peter actually walked on the water, and his natural mind did not keep him from doing so, even though he was not yet born again. More on that in just a minute. Now, I want to give you an example of this. I mentioned the Bible study a while ago. The very first thing that we ever did in ministry was a home Bible study, and I got permission from Pastor Dave Roberson before I started it, because I know in a lot of churches, when people start having a home Bible study, that's just a matter of time until there's a church split, you know. I've seen that before. So I went and talked to Pastor Dave, and I told him, I said, I don't even want anybody at the church to know we're doing it. He told me the specific people to go after. It's not people coming to the prayer center. So I told him, I said, I don't even want the people at the church to know about this Bible study. He told me who to go after. It's not people that are going to the prayer center. And because he said that they don't hate him or anything, but life has just kind of beat them up. And they would come to learn about Jesus if it didn't feel very churchy. Anyway, Dave gave us permission, and we started doing that Bible study. And boy, we were young in the things of the Lord. This was 1996, and I think maybe 97, I'm not sure exactly, but right in there. And we hadn't even started traveling and ministering yet. I had done a little teaching at the prayer center that Dave allowed me to do. Always thankful for that. But anyway, one night, we were having this Bible study, and this girl came, and she had a prayer request for a friend of hers that lived up in Kansas. And she was going to go visit this friend anyway the next week, and she just wanted prayer because her friend had this, what you call it, lactose intolerance, and she had an intense allergy to milk and anything that had like milk or lactose in it, like even things like pizza bread, you know, the bread that's on pizza and cheese and things. So she was just asking for prayer, and so we were just going to pray for this girl, and the Holy Spirit began talking with me. I said, step out here, and everybody kind of gather around her. I don't know how many we had that night, but anyway, everybody that can, just lay your hands on her. And the Holy Spirit told me to instruct her. It says, now when you go visit your friend, you have to tell her this. Tell her that you asked for prayer, that in this Bible study, we laid our hands on you and prayed, and the Holy Spirit deposited in you an anointing. You're going to carry, you're going to be like a vessel carrying that anointing to her. Now tell her this, that you have brought that anointing with you, and when you lay your hands on her, that anointing is going to go into her, and she will be healed of that allergy. Are you willing to tell her that? She said, I'll tell her. You know? Well, when she got back, we got the report. And she said, well, when I got there, I told her what everything that you said. I laid my hands on her, and I prayed in the name of Jesus, be healed. And she did that. She laid her hands on her and prayed. Well, the friend didn't feel anything. She didn't, like, fall over in the floor or anything. But she says, well, let's find out. So she went to the refrigerator, got a big old glass of milk. No, I don't know how big it was, but she got a glass of milk. And I see before, if she drank milk, within moments, just minutes, she would break out in hives. So she got a glass of milk out of the refrigerator, sat down, drank it, and waited for the hives. Or the hives never came. She went, my goodness, my husband left some pizza in the refrigerator. I'm going to go get a piece of it and eat it. I haven't had pizza. This girl, bless her heart, had pretty well been reduced to mashed potatoes. That was about the only thing really she could safely eat. She was living on mashed potatoes and had been that way for a long time. She hadn't had pizza in years. She said, my husband left some pizza. I want to get a piece of it and eat it. So she got a piece. I don't know whether she even heated it up or not. But anyway, she got a piece of pizza. They set it at the dining table. She ate it and waited for the hives. And the hives never came. Glory to God. Glory to God. And they never did come. And she was healed. She's been healed ever since. She eventually moved to Tulsa and came to the prayer center for a while to be trained. It totally impacted her life. Now, see, a Bill Mayer would hear me tell that story and go, nonsense. Now, I'm not picking on Bill, but just a natural man. Oh, that's foolishness, says the person who's not been born again or trained by the Holy Ghost. But see, they can shout foolishness and nonsense all they want to. But you know who they're not going to affect? The girl that got healed. Now listen to me. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with a theory. The Bill Mayers of the world can say nonsense all they want, and that girl's going to go, I'm the one that got healed. It happened to me. I'm still healed today. You can say whatever you want, but I know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Glory to God. Is that good stuff? See, I still remember that day. And we were so young in the Lord. I'm telling you, that's all just His mercy and grace and the gifts of the Spirit. And I'll just do my best to hear and obey, which I'm still trying to do today. Now, let's get down to it. See, because this whole thing, really, everything that we're doing, and I'm talking all three of these series, Recoding the Brain, Believing Jesus, Recoding, Believing Jesus, and now Think Like Jesus. We're going to think like the Master. Because the purpose of a disciple, of becoming a student, is to become like your master. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He says, you're going to do the same things I did. I'm going to train you. Spirit to spirit, I'm going to train you. You're going to do the same things. Well, that's been in our Bible a long time. But we're in the process of going to that very place. Now, for me, this started many years ago, but specifically what I'm talking about is the day I was teaching at a conference here in Tulsa, at the prayer center, one of the conferences years ago, and right in the middle of my teaching. I mean, how rude, you know? I'm joking. He's free. He knows he's free to interrupt anytime he wants, but I'm just teaching away. I've got a little podium and teaching, got my Bible open, and I saw him. I don't think anybody else did, but to me, I saw Jesus walk through the wall right over to the right, walk right through the wall, come right over, stand right beside me, put his finger on my Bible like this on the podium, and all he said was, I want to be believed. He that believes on me. What is the work of God? John 6:29. In the verse before that, they had asked, what must we do that we may do the works, plural, of God? His answer was in the singular. He said, this is the work, only one. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. Well, now God hath sent him into us. We have to believe on him who lives in us, the greater one who lives in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Christ in us is the hope of glory. It is the mystery of mysteries. Okay. I want to be believed. Now, I want to look at an example of this, showing how the natural gray matter brain can be affected by the gospel. I want to read this verse now. It's Romans 1:16. Go ahead, and if you've got a Bible, we have time, just look it up. And I know it's very familiar. Romans 1:16, Paul writing, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, thank God. Now notice what he says. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, it came first to the Jews, but now also to the Greek, that's Gentiles, that's the rest of us. Now notice he doesn't say that the gospel has power. The way it's worded here, it says the gospel is the power of God. If you look that word up, it's dunamis. It's actual Greek word for, it's where we get our word dynamite from. The explosive, raw power. The gospel is the power of God. It has the ability to pierce through the natural gray matter brain, I'm telling you, to reach the natural man. If it didn't have that power, none of us could get saved, because we're all natural men. When you hear the gospel for the first time, however you heard it or read it, however it got to you, the gospel has the power to penetrate the natural gray matter brain, to reach you on the inside. Okay, now let's look at this case. To me, is so perfect here in Acts. We're going to go to Acts here in just a minute, but before I even go to the book of Acts, let's look at the very first message that Jesus preached. Now, this is after he was baptized by John, which Jesus said in Luke 16:16 that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom is preached and every man presses into it. And we've already taught on why that's so important. That was the coronation day for the last Adam. Then he had to overcome the devil. He had to succeed where the first Adam failed. And he held to the word of God no matter the temptation. The first Adam did not do that, but this one did. So once he overcome the devil and he succeeded where the first Adam failed, now it says he went forth into power of the Spirit, and he begins preaching this message. This is his message. So Said all that to get to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after that John, that's John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. Now, what's he doing now? Now, he's been crowned king. He's been anointed as the last Adam. Let them have dominion, you remember? The Holy Spirit has come upon him. He's overcome the devil now, okay? So now he is anointed. He's coming in the power now of the Spirit. And he says he came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean? What did he preach? And saying, the time is fulfilled. Now, everything I said about him being the last Adam, everything about him being baptized, everything, all of that in previous lessons, don't have time to review it again today. The time is fulfilled. Everything's been accomplished that has to be accomplished. I am the Messiah, basically, is what he's saying, and I'm here. Okay? And the kingdom of God, you could say now, is at hand. I want to say it again. If something is at hand, it's within my reach. If you put my fried chicken 20 feet away from me, it's a promise of far off. But if you put it at hand, it's within my reach, and we can have it now. That's what he's saying. And then he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. And yes, it means repentance from sin. But John the Baptist had already come preaching the baptism unto repentance of sin. What Jesus is really saying here, this actual Greek word that he's using says, completely change your mind. It's like he's saying, up until now, and with good reason, you didn't think God would use his power on your behalf. But now that everything that's been accomplished has been accomplished, the time is fulfilled, and I have been anointed now as the Messiah, I am the Messiah, I'm here to tell you, change how you've been thinking, because I'm telling you, the power of God is available to you right now today for you to have the abundant life. If you can believe it, you can have it. Wow. The kingdom of God is available to you. And now you just, let's look, go in macro mode. Just think, you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do you see? Well, everything that the devil had people bound in, I mean, sickness, disease, even unclean spirits, the woman with the issue of blood, the lady bowed over for all those years, the man with the withered hand, on and the paralyzed man, on and on. What do you see? Be loosed. He freed them. Everything, he destroyed the works of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Holy Spirit was there to do it. And that's what he means. He says, the kingdom of God is, I've come to deliver you captives. It's just like World War II when they, as the Allies are coming in and they're finding some of those concentration camps where the Germans just ran, you know, and they still found so many Jews behind the gates, you know, what do? Kick those gates open and set the captives free, man. You know, that's exactly what Jesus did, going through a village to village to village. He's, the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's like kicking these gates down, going in and delivering the captives. And we're supposed to be doing that same thing. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Uh-oh, I better get with it here. Now, with all that in mind, that's Jesus preaching the kingdom. All right, well, now Jesus, he ascends to heaven. He gives the apostles the commission. They all go out, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. But then we find the apostle Paul, and you know the whole story, how he got saved on the road to Damascus. And God sends him to the Gentiles. Well, let's look at him. Here's the apostle Paul. They've come into this Gentile city of Lystra. Well, not all that far from Macedonia, by the way. But anyway, they send him to, or he's gone to Lystra. And it plain, just read what it says here. So I should have told you the verses. Sorry. Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10. Now, the reason the Holy Spirit brought this particular episode to mind, you're going to see Paul preaching the gospel to totally natural men. These are not even Jews. These are idol worshipers. They believe in Zeus, Jupiter, Mercury. They're idol worshipers, you know? And I don't know if they'd ever even once heard the name of Jesus, know anything about him. But somebody says, so of course, you know, we're going to look at the crippled man who was born that way. This man has never known what it is to walk. He's born crippled in his feet. He's never walked in his whole life. I guess I better read it first just in case you have. Okay. Acts 14, verses 7 through 10. At Lystra, I should have put the previous verse, I guess. They're at Lystra, and it says, there they preached the gospel. Now, what's being preached? The gospel. What gospel? This gospel of the kingdom. Same gospel that Jesus preached. Okay? There they preached the gospel. You know what they're doing? They're preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your mind, and believe this. Okay? And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. Now notice, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Can you imagine what his little bird legs must have looked like? No exercise, really, no walking your whole life. Can't imagine. They have muscle atrophy, you know. Now, verse 9. Now, Paul is, what's he preaching? The gospel. Could I say the gospel of the kingdom? Okay, that's what Jesus sent him out to preach. Now, the same heard Paul speak. So Paul is preaching the gospel. This idol worshiper, natural man, who probably never heard the name of Jesus before, somebody said, hey, we heard there's this Jewish bunch that's come down to preach, and they're preaching some supernatural stuff. You want to go with me and listen? Well, sure. Probably never heard the name of Jesus, probably doesn't know anything about it. Maybe he does. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But we do know this, he's raised his whole life as an idol worshiper in this town. You talk about the definition of a natural man, is what I'm trying to say. He's a Bill Mayer. Now, he may not be an atheist, but he's worshiping idols. Anyway, the same heard Paul speak. Now, what's Paul speaking? The gospel. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving, God gave Paul a discerning that this man had faith to be healed. Well, how did he get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it comes into the natural man. All of us got saved that way. The gospel is supernatural. It has the power to penetrate the darkness. Even the natural gray matter brain of all of us were this way. It penetrated, and we grabbed hold of it, and the axe head floated. He quickened us from death to life and brought us out of the waters of death. Oh, I could just preach for years. It's so beautiful. God, shondelabiko. Verse 9 again. I've tried to contain myself here. I love the gospel. The same heard Paul speak. Just God loves this man. He's always loved this man. He loves all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who died on that cross. Throw that cross into the river of death. The axe hit and floats. God grabs it. He grabs you axe head. Outfit, you stony heart outfit. He's going to give you a heart made of flesh. Anyway, preach forever. Perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he got it by listening to the gospel. Said with a loud voice, Paul speaking to him, stand upright on thy feet. Now notice, and he leaped and walked. How did he do that with bird legs? I mean, the power of God. Either God empowered those little atrophied muscles, or else his legs went foop and they filled out. You know, I don't know. But I do know he leaped and walked, and it was such a miracle. They wanted to start sacrificing and making homage to Paul and the one and Barnabas. No. We're not God. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously they didn't understand the gospel really yet. They didn't understand that Jesus is Lord. They're calling him, you know, Zeus and Jupiter and Mercury. They don't understand yet, but that didn't stop the power of God from penetrating this man to be healed. The supernatural power of God. The gospel is the power of God. And it has the power to penetrate your outfit. Glory to God. Penetrate the natural brain. All right. I'm going to read a little bit here. We're going to run out of time. This cripple was not a Jew. Most likely he had never heard the name of Jesus in his whole life. They live quite a ways off from Jerusalem. He was raised in that city to worship false gods like Jupiter and Mercury. This is a natural man, if there ever was one, who he was the type of guy who would never believe that an axe head floated. I mean, you know, what? You could have told him that all day long, and he would have said, well, that is nonsense, like Bill Maher. That's what? You believe an axe head floated? That's nonsense. That's foolishness. Yet the gospel of the kingdom of God, as he heard the gospel being preached, it was able to penetrate that natural brain. All it says, Paul preached the gospel. The man heard Paul preach. Now remember from Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Into a natural man? Yes, we all got saved that way. And the man, in this case, saved is not just being born again. In this case, he's getting, that word saved is usually comes from the word sozo. And it literally means saved in every way, which includes healing. That's a whole other thing. But Paul, obviously, in his, it had to go something like this. Now, you're a crippled man. Look at my time here. Okay. You're a crippled man, born that way, birth defect, your whole life. You've never walked. Here you're listening to this crazy Jew, Paul, this apostle, and he is telling you there is another kingdom. There is another kingdom that's been made available to you. God has anointed his son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost. And Christ himself now is Lord. He is the Messiah. If you call upon his name, I don't know exactly how Paul worded it, but he said, this kingdom, if God has been made available to you, and you don't have to be poor anymore. You don't have to be crippled anymore. And this man's listening. I don't know exactly the words, but I know Paul preached the gospel. Don't tell me healing's not included in the gospel. I mean, how else did the guy get faith to be healed? Paul's preaching it. The kingdom of God is available to you. To me? To you. If you believe it, you can have it. And at some point, God gives Paul discerning. That man has faith to be, he believes. And so Paul gives the command in the name of Jesus. You know, that's, boy, we've got to learn how to do this now. He gives the command, you stand upright on your feet. Impossible. he's looking at this cripple with bird legs, never walked, born that way, stand upright on your feet. And he did. Oh, that's almost too hard. Get excited. What? And everybody knows this guy. Everybody, he grew up in this town. And they're seeing him leap and walk. And they're going, the gods have come down. It's obvious they don't understand much of the gospel yet. They're thinking, the God, this must be Jupiter and Mercury. But whatever, what Paul preached, the kingdom of God is at hand. That God has made his power available to you. There's a new king. His name is Jesus. He'll heal you today if you believe it. And he believed it. Whew, we got a ways to go, people, on our preaching and our believing. Now see, Hebrews, I read earlier, I want to read it again. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Boy, Paul was not ashamed to go. You do know Lystra is the same town where just a little while later they stoned Paul, maybe to death. It doesn't tell us for sure, but I mean, they knew how to stone in those days. That was something that they did. And the other disciples stood around him and prayed, and he rose up. But whether he rose from the dead or not, I don't know. But, you know, and He didn't even leave. He said, listen, I'm not done yet. They went back into Lystra to finish why God sent him there. But Paul is not ashamed to go into an idol-worshipping town. See, now today, this would be like, and you better have the leading and anointing of God to do it. But today, that would be very much like going into a Muslim area, a Muslim town, or a Hindu or Buddhist, which missionaries are doing that all over the world, and not be ashamed of the gospel and preach that the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is the King of the kingdom. He is the Messiah, and he is anointed to use his power, God's power, on your behalf today. And if you believe it, you can have it today. Wow. Okay. But see, that's Hebrews 4:12 says the same thing. It says, for the word of God, he's preaching the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The gospel, I'm going to say it a little different. When it says quick, it is alive. It is a living thing. It's not just ink on paper like my Bible, what I'm reaching there. It's not just words like any other book. The gospel, the word of God, is alive and powerful. It is dunamis. The gospel doesn't have the power of God. It says the gospel is the power of God. God, I just get those ripples going down my arm almost every time I say that. The gospel is the power of God. It is the dynamite of God, and it can penetrate the darkness still. Glory to God. Now, see, this is really good news, because if the idol worshiper, if he was able to have faith in, and I mean faith enough to be healed from a birth defect, okay, he's a grown man now, never walked, but as a natural man, okay, the power of the gospel penetrated even to the to the 3.5-pound brain is what I'm talking about. If he can believe and receive his miracle, child of God, you are, I got good news. You have the capacity to believe it all. We all have the capacity. Our gray matter brain is not going to hold us back. It's going to become the good servant that runs along. It's always willing to help. You know, I don't have a calculator handy here, except it's on my phone. I'm talking to my phone. But it's like the calculator. It's always available to help and assist you and run numbers for you and do things like that. That's what the natural gray matter brain. But it's never to be the Lord. It's never to tell you what to believe. You know, it's never to give you the direction that you should go. You get that from God. You are the prince on the horse. You've been born of God. You are a child of God. You get your direction from the Holy Spirit. The mind is the good servant running alongside to help. It'll run numbers for you. It'll do spreadsheets for you. It'll do all kinds of things for you. But I'm going to say it again. You have the capacity to believe everything. We have the capacity to believe everything Jesus said. Now, I only got 3 minutes left. I want to be believed, Jesus said. We started this off three series ago, Recoding the Brain, Believing Jesus, and now we're Think Like Jesus. But I can tell you, see, showing me things that we're going to be incorporating soon, that's going to incorporate things and go beyond even recoding the brain. I'm going to remind you again of what he told me believing really is, okay? The Holy Spirit, I was just doing what I'm supposed to do, praying, minding my own business, doing the message, praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating the Word of God, and he began to speak, and I'm just going to quote it word for word here. He said, believing is recoding the mind. Now get this. It is a biological, physical disconnecting of old neural paths and a reconnecting of new neural paths. Repetition is a major key, exactly the same way that you learn the alphabet and the multiplication tables and everything else that you have learned. The process is precisely the same. This is how you go from unbelief to believing. Then he told me personally, rewind for me, all the way back to the words document. Most of you know what that is. That's the things he spoke to me in 1986 and 87 that I originally gave you. Upon that foundation is how you rebuild your belief system to align with my belief system. Now, I went through that document, every paragraph in it, in these previous two series. We're going to start incorporating some things in a very practical way soon. I'm not saying next week, but very soon, because he's showing me. Yes, sir. I've got like a minute. My training is as an engineer, not as a scientist. We used to have this kind of a little joke, you know. Here's the difference between a scientist and an engineer, okay? You set a big, beautiful cake at one end of the room, and we're all standing at this end of the room. There's a group of scientists and engineers, and we're all together. And it's got this beautiful, we're all starving, by the way. And they've at the other end of this hallway, they've set up this beautiful cake. And they say, well, we want you to know that's available for you to have right now. There's only one stipulation. You can't walk directly to the cake. What you have to do is you've got to go half the distance and then half that remaining distance and then half that remaining distance. And as soon as they said that, well, all the scientists gave up and they start leaving the room going, well, that's theoretically impossible because there is no distance so small that you couldn't divide it by two. So it's impossible. So there's no point in us even trying. But all the engineers in the room, we immediately started going half and then half and then half because we said, okay, it may be impossible, but we're going to get close enough for all practical purposes. And I'm telling you, we may not understand every little detail of everything about the supernatural kingdom of God, but we're going to get close enough for all practical purposes. And the works that he did, you shall do also. That's enough for today. See you again next time. Bye-bye for now.